Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Thank you to the trio, the instrumentalists, and thank you for the choir. I have been ministered to already. Thank you so much. This past Thursday, Sharon, my wife, made an appointment for she and I to go have our teeth cleaned at our local dentist office. And the hygienist cleaning my teeth, she was asking me some things. She says, do you use Listerine? And I said, no. And she said, well, you need to. And I said, well, no, not for that. For my gums, not bad breath. That's not what she was alluding to. So she said, for your gums. So I said, well, okay. So we get home, and that evening I thought about it. And I asked Sharon, I said, do we have any Listerine? And she said, I don't know. She said, I think so. She said, let me look. So she looks and she finds, she said, yeah, I got some here. I said, okay, good. So I, about bedtime, I go in the bathroom and I take it. I said, I'll take a big old swig of it. And, and that's what the lady said to do. So that's what I'm doing. Spit it out. And okay. And I said, that's gross. I take the bottle and I look at it. Expired 2015. 2015, mind you. I don't know anything about alcohol, but the level was probably way, way up there. The point of me sharing that with you is it's important to know ahead of time what you're getting into. And such is the case with people that are going to influence you, or influence your family, or influence your children. The title of the message this morning is Warning Against False Teachers. You say, well, that guy, he don't look like a false teacher. Exactly. You got point number one. They don't look. You can't tell a false prophet by his looks. Let's begin, though, by reading in Luke chapter 6, because what we're doing is we're working our way through the book of Luke. And this week we're in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through verse number 45. And we don't get bored with Luke because almost every week the topic is different. What we're about to read is a recording of Jesus teaching back in Israel at the beginning of his ministry. And let's just read what he was teaching those people. And it was recorded, and it's been preserved for 2,000 years because it's an eternal message. We need it as much today as the people he shared it with needed it then. This morning, three verses. For a good tree, he told those people, bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart is, out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaketh. Now you just read through that like we just did very quickly. You might be asking yourself, what is he talking about there? Well, to find out, you have to use proper Bible interpretive technique. And one of the proper interpretive techniques of understanding the Bible is to understand that the Bible can explain the Bible. And if you have one portion of Scripture that seems to be vague, then see if there's another portion of Scripture on that same topic that is perhaps less vague. Because the passage we just read, you're asking yourself, who is that referring to? What is he talking about, good fruit and bad fruit? Well, this is Luke's account of a message that Jesus preached. Matthew, another apostle, has his account of this same message. And of course, two different people could accurately report the things that, you know, they were interested in or what struck them. So to understand Luke's account, let's go back to Matthew's account. And in fact, we're going to focus then from here on out on Matthew's account, because Matthew clearly explains what Jesus is talking about in this passage about good fruit and bad fruit and nothing good coming from a bad tree and all things bad coming from a good tree. So let's go back. How did Matthew record this account? Well, we go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, and right away it tells us what this passage is talking about. Jesus, as Matthew records, it said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, Matthew recorded that. Luke, for whatever reason, did not. Doesn't mean that one of them was right and one of them was wrong. I mean, God wanted us to have different perspectives. So, again, what did Matthew say? "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Then Matthew records basically what Luke records. Now we know what Luke was talking about. Because after he says, "Beware of false prophets," in verse number 16, "ye shall know them." That's good to know. It's good to know that you can spot a false prophet. "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And then he illustrates, "Do men gather grapes of thorns?" You get grapes out of a thorn bush? The answer, of course, is no. Or do you get figs from thistles? No. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit." This is how you recognize a false prophet or a false teacher. "But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." And he expands on it even further. Matthew does. "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Know who? What's he talking about? Matthew just told us. Talking about false prophets or false teachers. This passage is very helpful, and it outlines very simply to help us be in a position to be able to identify false prophets, false teachers. Why is this important? Because false teachers, false prophets will lead you astray, or your spouse astray, or your children astray, and false prophets, false teachers always will end up with very tragic circumstances. Probably the most notable three false prophets of my lifetime have been Jim Jones, David Koresh, and Charles Manson. It was Jim Jones that led over 900 Americans down to Guyana, South Africa, and where in 1978, he exploited those people by he and 900 of them committing suicide, from which we get the phrase, "drank the Kool-Aid," because the Kool-Aid they gave to themselves and 300 children was laced by cyanide. And he was so compelling a cult leader and a false prophet that he told all those people ahead of time what he was going to do. And there is a recording of him telling these people about what they're going to do. And he tells them, this is the mark of a false prophet. He said, I listened to it the other morning and it was chilling. He said, "You're not going to be happy without me. You can't live without me." And those people, for the most part, voluntarily drank the Kool-Aid. That was back in 1978. Some of you remember that vividly. Then in 1993, David Koresh, Waco, Texas, had a standoff with federal officers for a number of weeks. But in the end, 85 people, including four ATF officers, were tragically killed in 1993. David Koresh, clearly a false prophet. And then Charles Manson, he led a small following. His following wasn't as big, but they were responsible for the death of 9 people. Charles Manson, that was back in 1969 when that happened. In preparing for this message, I did a little research on these men. All three were from very troubled homes. All three became interested in obscure and radical and odd religious beliefs. All three of themselves identified themselves as prophets, and all three had enormous power to exert total influence and control over their victims. These folks faced tragic consequences because they followed false prophets. Now, while I would be concerned for any of you following false prophets, truth of the matter is, thankfully, these kinds of men are rare. But false prophets in general are not. And they may not be so notorious as any of these people, but false prophets still exist. And while they may not take your life or the life of others, they can sure steal your life. They can certainly complicate your life. They can make your life very difficult. They can cause dissension between you and your family. There's all sorts of horrible consequences that can come, perhaps not as severe as the ones I just mentioned, granted, but still they are real. And the ability to hear them today is unlike any other time. Just go to your computer, go to your phone, even go to your watch, with the smart watches and what have you. It's a real danger today. To whatever degree you are pulled away from the truth, that's a sad and tragic consequence. Whether you're pulled far away into some radical cult group, commune, or whether it just causes you to go to a church that is off base, the consequences are sad. Jesus taught this for a reason. He taught it in the Sermon on the Mount. He taught it in the Sermon on the Plain. It was Matthew that recorded the Sermon on the Mount. It was Luke that recorded the Sermon on the Plain. It was basically a message that Jesus thought important enough to teach on two different occasions and have two different men record what he said. And it's important for us to understand that today because the threat is great today of people falling astray. I'll share this with you. It's not on the screen. Let me read to you from this report. The question is not whether you will hear the voice of false teachers. You do, perhaps every day. The question is whether you can discern which messages are indeed false. If you watch any television, listen to any radio or podcast, keep up on the news, or interact at depth with just about anyone in modern society, you're being exposed to some form of false teaching or false influence. If you cannot identify any voices you hear as false, it's not because you aren't being exposed, but because you're falling for it in some way. Let me read that again. If you cannot identify any voices you hear as false, it's not because you aren't being exposed, but because you're falling for it in some way. I would say that there are false teachers, certainly with great influence in the entertainment industry. Wouldn't you think? Don't you think in the entertainment industry, children are being influenced? Could we not refer to them as false teachers or false prophets? Can you recognize them? Can you recognize the influence they may be having on you or your children? Again, the fact that you don't recognize false teachers doesn't mean they're not there. It could simply mean you don't have a clue, or you're naive, or you just are worldly or carnal. He goes on to say, for most of church history, it took extraordinary energy and influence to influence the masses. Messages had to be copied by hand, and teachers had to travel by foot or horseback. There were no cars or airplanes and no printing press, websites, and Facebook pages. But today, just about every false teacher has a Twitter account. In other words, they are out there, and their influence is out there, and being propagated in ways never before. Thankfully, in Luke chapter 6 and in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord teaches us really everything we need to know about false teachers and false prophets. I remind you, this is Jesus. Take your mind back 2,000 years ago, Jesus in an outdoor arena and people sitting up on the side of the hill, because we're going to focus, we're studying through Luke, but we're going to focus on Matthew's account this morning because his is a little more detailed. Just Jesus, who loves these people, is giving them a warning. Okay. And it was recorded. And today the Lord has called me into the ministry and he's standing me before you preaching through the book of Luke to give you a warning today. And that's why my heart breaks for people that can't make it to church, because people that, you know, and I know there's folks that have to work. I know there's folks that are sick. Folks sometimes travel. I understand all that. But folks that could be at church and aren't here this morning are going to be more vulnerable on this topic than you are. And by the way, folks that are here this afternoon to hear the message from Proverbs on wisdom are going to attain more wisdom this afternoon than those of you that will not, for whatever reason, not be here this afternoon. You're making yourself more vulnerable. We have church not for something to do. We have church because it is important. And it can make a positive difference and impact in your life. Well, anyway, I want to look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to break this down into its component parts, easily to be understood, that'll give you an understanding of false prophets and how to recognize them. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. The first thing we learn in that passage of Scripture is simply this: be on the lookout for false prophets. That's what Jesus is telling us. He says in verse number 15, beware of false prophets. That's not a maybe or could happen. It's gonna happen. It happened then. It has happened since then. It is happening today. And you are naive if you're just opening your ears to everything on the radio, everything on TV, you know, on the internet, social media. You are naive, certainly immature, if you don't understand that, you know, there are false prophets out there. And if you fall for this line, well, we're just to love everybody and we're not to be judgmental. We've covered that last week. No, you are to be judgmental. You are to be discerning. I mean, how can you pick out a false prophet if you aren't judgmental? That's a lie of the devil today. That's the world telling you to not be judgmental. That's not the Lord telling you not to be judgmental. The Lord tells us to be. When Solomon said to the Lord, "Lord, you know," when the Lord said, "You know, what do you want?" He says, "You know, the wisdom to discern between good and evil." The Lord said, "That's a good thing to ask for, and you're going to get it." We need the ability to discern. So he starts off by telling us, "Beware of false prophets." Here's a quote. This is a warning which is much needed. There are thousands who seem ready to believe anything in religion if they hear it from an ordained minister. They forget that clergymen may err as much as laymen. They are not infallible. Their teaching must be weighed in the balance of the Holy Scripture. Amen. They are not to be followed and believed so long as their doctrine agrees, or they are to be followed and believed so long as their doctrine agrees with Bible, but not a minute longer. You know, I told my starting point class this morning, we had our final class this morning, and I told them one of the things you should appreciate about this church is you cannot be led astray because we are following the Bible. The Bible will never lead you down a dangerous path. The Bible will never lead you into error. The Bible will bring husbands and wives closer together. The Bible will bring children closer to their parents. It will avoid the heartaches of addictions and the pain of betrayal and dishonesty and greed and all of those kind of things. This is a wonderful book. It'll lead you down a wonderful path. But there are false prophets that'll try to get you away. And I told that class, look, if I should teach anything and you say, that's not in the Bible, that's just not there, then get rid of me. But what are we doing this morning? We're taking it verse by verse. I'm only giving you Bible this morning. And we're taking not only verse by verse, but in some cases, as in this first verse, phrase by phrase. So lesson number one, don't be naive. Don't be foolish. Be on the lookout for false prophets. They are out there. Number two, we learn very clearly. False prophets can be very deceptive. They can look good. They can tickle your ears. They can be impressive. Look what he says. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They are very deceptive. Just because they're cool, just because they're popular, doesn't mean they're right. One writer said, I love this, false teachers typically won't show up to your church wearing a sandwich board saying, I'm a false teacher. it'll be just the opposite. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what makes this so insidious. This is what makes this such a good tool of Satan. He is smart, and they are going to be charming. They're going to be probably good looking, certainly persuasive in their speech and articulate. And you have to beware of that. Be on the lookout for false prophets. They can be very deceptive. But he also says in that statement, we're taking it phrase by phrase here, they're very dangerous. Very dangerous. Look at what he says at the end of verse number 15. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Ravening wolves. To have a pack of wolves, let's say you're going out for a walk in the UP and a pack of wolves come after you, that would be a very scary thing because they're out to devour you. And that's the image that the Lord wants us to have of false prophets and false teachers. They are ravening wolves. In the end, they will do you harm. They don't care one whit about you, your marriage, or your family. They are out to do you harm, but they are deceptive. They do it in sheep's clothing. Which brings us then to verse number 16, where the Lord elaborates even more that you can recognize them. That's good to know this morning, because we've already learned they're dangerous, but they're deceptive. So, you know, I don't want my kids being led astray. I don't want teenagers being led astray. I don't want to be led. I don't want my husband or my wife to be led astray. You can know them. How? Verse number 16. These are our Savior's words. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them. You can recognize them. You ought to recognize them. You must recognize them by their fruits. You can see what they are doing. You can recognize where they are going. You can see what they are producing. You recognize them by their fruits. So we're going to use Scripture again to explain Scripture. And we're going to look at some verses in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah was preaching and teaching against false prophets that were taking his people, God's people, down a wrong path. So when we say you can know them by their fruits, let's look at Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is talking about real false prophets that he was preaching against at the time, and he does a lot to describe them in the book of Jeremiah. So how do you recognize them by their fruits? Number one, false prophets speak from their own delusion, not by divine command. Charles Manson, David Koresh, and Jim Jones, they were speaking. But they were delusional. God wasn't telling them any of that. Look at what Jeremiah says to the people. In verse number 16 of chapter 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, talking about false prophets. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So one of the ways to recognize a false prophet is they're not speaking by divine command. They are not reflecting what the Bible teaches. They are speaking of their own delusion. And Jeremiah acknowledges that when he was warning those people. Number two, how do you recognize them by their fruits? They are given to greed and covetousness always. There's something in it for them. Most often it's money. They're in it for the money. You know, send it to me and I'll send you a healing oil or a healing cloth or a healing this or a healing that. You don't find that in Scripture. They're given to greed and covetousness, or they're just on a power trip. You know, they just love power. They are power hungry. In Jeremiah 8, verse number 10, Jeremiah is dealing with them. Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given, talking about false prophets, to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, talking about false ones, everyone dealeth falsely. They are in it for themselves. These are the ones that need more money for bigger, better, faster private jets. and live in mansions and take advantage of poor people and think nothing of it and live high on the hog and don't want anybody to know about it either. Or if you do know about it, they're going to find some way to justify it. That's how you recognize these people. They do not speak by divine command. They are definitely given to greed and covetousness. Number three, they do not proclaim or defend God's word, but they deny it. Okay, they will use God's word to a degree, and we'll get to that in a second. But in Jeremiah 23:17, they say, "Still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said," talking about what, you know, this is what they said, this is what the Lord said, "you shall have peace." And they say, unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, "No evil shall come unto you." What they're saying there, and that's a little difficult to understand, but what Jeremiah is saying that they say is, don't listen to God. Follow your heart. Nothing bad's really going to happen. You know, you don't have to listen to God. God is repressive. God is not fun-loving. God is trying to steal your joy. Listen to your heart. Follow us. Nothing bad is going to happen. Jeremiah is warning them that. So they do not proclaim or defend God's word, but they will pick and choose. What they like, they will embrace. If it serves their purpose, if it furthers their greed, if it accomplishes their covetousness, they will embrace it from Scripture. But if something identifies with them or identifies them as a false prophet, they will find a way to explain it away. Number four, how do we recognize them by their fruits? They offer temporary and partial relief to pressing problems. There's a reason that those 900 pitiful people followed Jim Jones down to South America. He offered them something that was no doubt attractive to them. Jeremiah was dealing with this in chapter 8, verse number 11. "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah is saying, yeah, they offer, these false prophets offer some relief. You know, hey, you've been under that oppressive church. You know, Pastor McMorris preaches against everything, you know, and which is most things, but not everything. "Look, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." So they may give some relief to problems, but they give no real peace. That's another way to recognize them. Another way to recognize their fruit is invariably it leads to a rejection of God's word, a rejection of biblical authority, a division among the saints, and a life of sensuality. That is another common thread. You study the three cult leaders that I mentioned, and there is an obsession with sensuality and pornography and all of that. Jeremiah 32:2. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, false pastors, ye have scattered my sheep, my flock, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evils of your doing, saith the Lord." They always mess things up. They scatter the flock. They drive them away. We need to understand that. Number five, as we continue on with what the Lord said in Matthew's account, "You will get nothing good from a false prophet. They will be winsome. They will be articulate. They will be compelling." I mean, there's a reason people follow them. But in the end, you're not going to get anything good from them. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns?" You're not going to get grapes from these guys. "Or figs from thistles?" You like figs? You're not going to get them from these guys. These guys are thorns. They are thistles. One writer says, "Have you noticed that apostasy and immorality go hand in hand? Often you'll hear about false teachers being caught in adultery, or within their belief system, they advocate immorality, multiple wives, or some sort of free sex. We see it over and over again," this writer says. You're not, you know, all of that is decadent. All of that is immoral. You're not going to get grapes. You're not going to get figs. You're going to get thorns. You're going to get thistles. Number six, I got to be quick here. The only thing you'll get from a false prophet is evil fruit. He is incapable of producing anything of worth or value. The next verse, Jesus' teaching. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. These false teachers, these false prophets, it's impossible to get anything good from them. They may be appealing, they may be convincing. But then you realize at some point in time that they've led you down a path astray, a path of brokenheartedness. Again, one writer, as the thorn can only produce thorns, not grapes, and the thistle, not figs, but prickles, so an unregenerate heart will produce fruits of degeneracy. Which leads us to number 7, this outlines so clearly. Don't follow a false prophet because he is headed to defeat and destruction. Verse number 19, the Lord says, the Lord loves us. Boy, he's really trying to impress upon us today the danger of following false prophets. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Adam Clark comments, what a terrible sentence is this against Christless pastors and Christless hearers. Every tree that produces no good fruit is to be now cut down. The act of excision is now taking place. The curse of the Lord is even now on the head and the heart of every false teacher and impenitent hearer. Don't follow them because he's headed to defeat and destruction. Hewn down and cast into the fire. And lastly, number 8. Use discernment and wisdom in determining who you will allow to influence you. In Matthew's account, he concludes by recording this, that the Lord said, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. If you want to recognize them, the good news is this morning, they're dangerous, so the good news is you can know them. You shall know them. I love this quote. This is a great promise in view of how deceptive some prophets and teachers can be. We must be careful to make sure the log is out of our eyes. That's what Luke was talking about just before this particular passage. We must be careful to make sure the log is out of our eyes so we can see clearly and accurately and discern where fruit is good or bad. You can know them. And to the degree you know your Bible, to the degree that you have your own personal time of devotion each day, and to the degree that you're in Sunday school, we're inoculating you from false teachers. To the degree you're here this morning, back this afternoon, and Wednesday night, to the degree you take advantage of what God has given you, to that degree you are in a better position to know them, to be able to recognize them. We conclude, practical application. How do we apply this today? 3 points. To avoid the seduction of false prophets, you must know your Bible. That is paramount. If you don't know your Bible, you're susceptible to every yahoo out there that can have a podcast. Number 2, to avoid the seduction of false prophets, you must be willing to pass judgment on them. Okay, if you've bought into the lie of the world today that I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to judge anybody. You know, we don't want to judge anybody harshly. We don't want to judge anybody falsely. But we don't want to judge anybody hypocritically. But we must judge, otherwise you'll never spot a false prophet. So to avoid seduction of false prophets, you must be willing to pass judgment on them based on what you know about God's Word. That's the key. And then number 3, to avoid the seduction of false prophets, you must be willing to take the heat from them and their followers. Okay, when you know your Bible and you don't go their route, they will criticize you. That's the way they operate. And if it's your goal to please everybody in the world, then you're going to be susceptible to their lies. You must be strong enough, you can be kind, you can be loving, but you cannot follow. We'll close with this quote. Christ here and in the preceding verses is speaking not of men of bad lives and conversations who take upon them to teach others, for there is not so much reason to caution good men against these. He's saying the Lord is really telling us to watch out for those people that appear one way, but they're another way. They are easily detected and generally discarded. But of men that put on sheep's clothing, who pretended to much holiness of life and conversation and strictness of religion, and under that disguise delivered out of the most corrupt and unwholesome doctrines, which tended greatly to depreciate him and his grace and to do damage to the souls of men. The warning is, beware of those that come across one way when they're really another. How do we know, Pastor? You'll know them by their fruit. Go back and study Jeremiah even further, because Jeremiah does a good job of describing the false prophets of his day. And when you understand what Jeremiah is talking about, you'll be in a better position to not be misled or have your spouse misled or have your children misled. The key is to know God's word. The key is to use discernment and realizing that this person is teaching something contrary to God's word. Because again, God's word is not going to hurt you. God's word is going to, sometimes it may step on your toes, but it's only to get, because you're on the wrong path. No, follow God's word and it'll bring you to peace, purpose, and promise. Three keys that you get from God's word. Beware, those false prophets are out there today and we're more susceptible to them than ever before. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you allow to influence you. And folks, let's broaden it as we close. It's not just guys that claim some spirituality. But it could be athletes that are false prophets to your children today. It could be pop stars that are false prophets today. It can be entertainers that are false prophets today. That are, if they're influencing you or your children in a negative way, you can mark it. They're a false prophet. Maybe not a spiritual false prophet, but a false prophet just the same. These are dangerous days. We don't have to live in fear. We just need to know our Bible and be confident of God's love, God's direction, and understand that you can recognize those false prophets and you can steer clear of them. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.